why is this so important?
Right, so let's look at it from three points of view.
Look at the main reasons why we manage health and safety. We want to talk about the moral reasons, you want to talk about the financial reasons, and you want to talk about the legal reasons. When we talk of moral, we're referring to the right thing to do when nobody is even watching. So you set up a business and you want people to work for you to make profit. You wouldn't like the fact that somebody goes to work and dies at work. Trust me, when that happens, it's going to be on you for the rest of your life. That's the moral justification why we have to protect the lives of people. We also have to look at the financial gains. So the cost of, we want to use the Pareto principle as an example, 80-20. The cost of putting in 20% investment in health and safety can give you 80% profit. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, if you say that accidents are not expensive, try ignorance, then you see. The lives that you're going to lose, you realize that you can't quantify it. So it makes a lot of sense to also manage health and safety due to financial reasons.
Okay, so,
then finally, you go to legal reasons. What does the law say about health and safety? The people working for you, what's the promise? So now I take you back to ILO, International Labour Organization. So they have three main reasons why the thing was set up. First off, for employers, every employer to create safe workplaces, safe people. Every employer to create safe workplaces, safe people, and safe processes. With all of that, you can guarantee the safety of people that come to your workplace at all times.
Hmm.
You get my point? So those are the reasons why we feel it's important.
So let's look at the downstream sector. You know, what areas of the value chain of the downstream sector and what are some of the related hazards that workers are confronted with on a daily basis?
Right. So the majority of the problem with the downstream sector has to do with transportation. Transportation of fuels with the trucks.
Okay.
There are a series of accidents that happen as a result of that. And over the years, with my experience in the downstream sector, I can tell you that most of the time, it's up to negligence. It's always very important that we look at the transportation.
Negligence on the part of the workers?
Or the drivers.
Okay.
Yes, those drivers who drive the vehicles. Sometimes they are fatigued. They don't take rest on long journeys. They also sometimes go over speed and all of that. So it leads to accidents that claims several lives. That is one. Transportation is one. And even the fuel station, for instance, when you have fuel stations scattered around town,
okay,
also poses a serious risk to burglary and then spills. You also have fires at the fuel stations. You know, there was a time in our history where we used to have a lot of armoreds attack fuel stations. They were attacking the stations because obviously they thought there was money to be made. But with systems developing, people have introduced what we call cash limits. Cash limits means that when somebody is at a pump and sells to a certain amount, they're supposed to drop it in the safe, such that when thieves or such people get there, they get nothing. Then again, we talk of fire. At the fuel station, fire is very common. Mind you, there are three key things that causes fire. There's fuel, there's heat, and there's ignition source. All these three things are at the fuel station.
Okay.
So when you eliminate any of them, fire cannot come. But at the fuel station, the place is rich with all that. So the little spark and there's fire. So it's always very important that we manage health and safety within this.
No, so for instance, the worst gas scenario, gas explosion scenario we had, over the past few years, would you say that the outlet did not put in place the relevant, emergency situations there?
Most of the time, some of the OMCs, I can say for a fact, are doing very well. Others are work as usual. They really don't care. And it boils down to management commitment. Because you realize that before health and safety, a successful health and safety system or safety culture could be built, there's that element of management commitment that has to be overshadowing everything. Management not just commit by talking the talk. It is very important that they walk the talk, backing the talk with actions, allocating resources to deal with these catastrophes. Because you can anticipate. And if you anticipate, you are not prepared. When it comes, how do you respond? So it's always very important that we look at it from that context. Most of the people at the pump, with my experience, do not even know how fire extinguishers are used. They have not been trained. That's why we are here, to support trainees. And then also, most of them, even if they know how they are trained, the confidence within which to practice it when it happens is also another problem. And they do not even have what we call an emergency response plan. A guideline that will help you to address such emergencies as and when they come. They don't have it.
Now, are all these measures not prerequisites before the MPA gives you a license?
They are all prerequisites, but to what extent can the MPA go? Let me just give MPA thumbs up. MPA have done well over the years. They were formed in 2005, and they performed creditably. Now their presence is felt almost all the country. fortunately, I've been through the length and breadth of this country because of this business.
Mm.
And I can tell you for a fact that NPA are doing very well. The likes of EPA, the likes of fire service, all of them are doing their bit. But at the end of the day, it is one thing getting the license and one thing complying with the statutes of the license.
Okay.
Somebody can get it and still play some wishy-washy games and not go according to the details of the license. NPA cannot be there every day. But we expect that if the management is committed, that's why I mentioned leadership commitment. If that commitment is there, leadership would ensure that the subordinates down there all have a voice and then they are visible so that the right things are done at the right time when nobody is watching. It takes us back to the moral reason.
So if you're an industry player, on the whole, I mean, what will you give, what percentage will you give, you know, oil marketing companies and refineries and many downstream players as to how they are complying with, you know, the regulations or safety?
It depends. There are several of them. So we've got multinationals, we've got local businesses and the like. I can speak for most of the multinationals. They are doing incredibly well. Because you realize that most of them have even been able to acquire the internationally recognized certifications. You talk of international standards of organizations, the ISO, most of them have it.
Okay.
Some of the indigenous companies, trust me, you'll be surprised, are also doing very well. I wouldn't want to name names, but they are doing very well. And on the other hand, some of the indigenous OMCs too work as usual. All they care about is to just have fuel at the stations to sell. They don't care about their staff. They don't care about anything else. Bottom line, they want the money. Once the money is done, they are done. So those are the ones that easily fizzles out.
Mm. And so what are setups like you doing to ensure that across board everybody becomes safety compliant?
So for us, what we're trying to do, as I mentioned, we do regulatory compliance. So if you have any business that you have challenges with acquiring your licenses from EPA, from fire service and the like, you could give us a call, we will support you. Then again, we do health and safety trainings. There are several of the trainings. We have fire, we have first aid, we have lots of them, internationally recognized and all that. So if anybody gets interested in our outfit, we are willing to support them through trainings as well. That is one of the ways that we support. And we also help in designing occupational safety and health management systems for businesses.
All right. Now, so 28th of April is International Labour Organization Day for World Day for Safety and Health at Work. What's the theme for this and how are you going to help support this particular occasion?
Right, so that occasion is actually a campaign. So they're talking about anticipating, preparing and responding to crisis. And then the need for us to invest in resilient occupational safety and health management systems. Now, I want to take you back to COVID-19. Nobody expected COVID to come. But for some reason, we just woke up one day and we thought the virus was in China. It was never going to get to us. It got to us and I'm sure you know the effect. Loss of jobs, people, loss of lives, several things. The economy is suffering greatly as a result of that and all that. So we feel that whilst we anticipate or we expect that a pandemic of this nature may come in the future, what are we doing now? If you look at COVID-19, what it happened or what it has done is it made most organizations, forward-thinking organizations, it made them realize the need to revisit their plans, reevaluate their options, and then chart a new course forward.
Mm.
So there's a working from home started. In the past, there was nothing like that. Working from home started. And organizations were, forward-thinking organizations were able to develop systems such that their people could work from home and still be very efficient.
Okay.
That's one thing that has helped us. So now, what are we going to do going forward? There's a need for, now, health and safety, initially, people didn't even hear of us. But for COVID, everybody has now heard health and safety. Yes. So there's a need for that advocacy. We still have to hit the drum, hit the stakes where it hits most.
Mm.
That people can hear it and people will be able to embrace it. That we are not just there to spend money, but we are there to protect the money, protect the lives of people, and then we protect our investments as well.
And I believe that platforms like this equally give the opportunity for all to actually comply and actually do what it takes or do what it has to take for safety and health issues in the downstream petroleum sector. Thank you very much for coming and for passing through tonight, Edward. Debra is a team consultant for ED Consults Ghana Limited. That's it
for
Energy 101 tonight. My name is Emmanuel Abuaji. We are here. Let's meet again same time next week for more development in the world of energy.